In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Take heart, your faith has made you well. But we should simply translate it, take heart, your faith has saved you. Faith alone saves. That's what the middle pillar of our Reformation banner is saying. Faith fidei alone, sola, saves. Christ himself is the one who praises faith everywhere in his ministry. He says, be at peace, take heart, be of good courage, rejoice. Your faith has saved you. And as we follow the gospel reading for today, from beginning to end, we learn how it is that faith saves. First, it is because it believes that the Word of God, which leads us to put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. Second, because faith grasps the means in which Jesus has clothed himself to be grabbed by us, for us. And third, we learn what this faith in Jesus Christ means for death. So first, the ruler comes to Jesus. Now the Gospels of Mark and Luke tell us important details that Matthew doesn't about this man. His name is Jairus. And he's not an earthly ruler. He's not a governor or a mayor or a president. He is a synagogue ruler. He's the ruler of the Jewish synagogue, and that means that he was the guy who was responsible for leading worship there. He is a teacher of the Bible, the Scriptures, the Law and the Prophets, Moses, and all of the Old Testament. So when he comes to Jesus and he says this, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Jairus says this because he believes in the resurrection of the dead. He must know the story of Elijah stretching himself out over that boy and bringing him back to life. He must know about Ezekiel and the bones that come back alive with flesh on them again. And what Job said, that in my own flesh I shall see God because my Redeemer lives. And he must believe Isaiah when he wrote in our Old Testament today, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So here's the first point then about saving faith. It's not simply knowledge about history. Bible stories are excellent. They're important. And the father of every household is like his own Jairus, his own synagogue ruler, there to teach these Bible stories to his wife and to his children. But if you do, then you have to teach them like Jairus does, not as mere trivia or mere history, but as the true Word of God that is full of promises for us today to trust in. This history is the history of God's work for His people. And that means not just for old, dead people, but for you and for me. The Scriptures must be read so that they give faith something to put its trust in. That means that they need to lead us like they lead Jairus to Jesus Christ. Jairus came and he found Jesus in the flesh, right there for him, and brought him home. Well, we find Jesus' own voice in his word that is preached. We find it in the Scriptures that we read, and we find his promise to us also. You, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith in me has saved you. We hear how he is crucified, how he has died, how he is buried, and how he is risen again and ascended for us. And if we read the scriptures then in faith like this, truly, then it will be that we are led to Jesus also in the flesh, led to him present for us in his body and in his blood in the Holy Supper. Now next, on the way to Jairus' house, the woman who has a flow of blood, she is healed. And she says to herself, if only I touch his garment, then I will be healed or saved. Now in the Gospel of Mark, we get to hear more about this story too. We hear how Jesus stops everything and demands, who is it who touched me? And Peter balks because the whole crowd is there. Jesus had to have been jostled by about a billion people, and he wants to know who it was who touched him. But Jesus says he knows somebody did because he felt his power go out from him. Go out to that woman who touched his garment. Now here's a really interesting question. Here we have an ordinary material object, a thing, a garment, healing this woman. And how can that be? But Jesus stops to emphasize this. Daughter, your faith has saved you. Yeah, it's true. 1,000 people that day may have touched Jesus' clothes with no effect. Maybe even touched his own skin, touched his hands. But the faith of this woman grasped far more than cloth. What she got, what was in the cloth. She got Jesus, and she got his benefits, which is always what saving faith receives and trusts. Now here in this real event, we have a wonderful little picture of what we call the sacraments. Many pious people think that the spiritual world and the material world, these things have to be kept separate. They don't belong together. God doesn't work through stuff. That's how pagan worship thinks, right? They have stuff all over them. They have idols that they carve. But we Christians, we worship the invisible God, the transcendent God beyond time and space, which means that our God can't be put in a box and can't be troubled to deal with the stuff of this world. That's what they say. So, for example, baptism, where you and I claim, with St. Peter in his epistle, that baptism saves us. Very same word as made well or saved in today's gospel. Well, that just can't be. That's water. God doesn't mix well with stuff like water. He is beyond this material world. He is above it. So they say. But our Christian faith, dear saints, depends on God putting himself in a box for us. And that's what he has chosen to do. He is pleased to work through his creation, through his stuff. If you can't handle that, then you need to realize that you actually can't handle Jesus Christ himself. Because as the book of Colossians says just a little bit after our text for today, in him, in Jesus, the fullness of the divine nature, God, dwells bodily. There you have it. You have God in human flesh. The stuff of this world, flesh and blood, from Mary's very ordinary womb, and the eternal, transcendent Word of God, personally united. Together, one. God is man. And without that precious confession, without that truth, then the death of Jesus means nothing. The touch of Jesus could never save anyone. much less the touch of his garments. The scriptures, however, are glad to confess all of these things as absolutely true and the case. And so will we. The Lord is not afraid to deal with us by means. And indeed, he must. He veils himself in human flesh to reconcile us to God in Christ. He clothes himself also in regular old clothes, garments. He does it for this woman. And when she grasps his cloth in faith, she doesn't get the cloth, she gets him. And in the same way as this, when you and I eat and drink the bread and the cup in faith, believing Christ's word, trusting his promise, what we receive is not mere bread and wine, but Christ's true body and blood, and with it, all of his benefits. Without faith, we would get no benefit from it, or in the case of the Lord's Supper, much worse than that. But faith takes hold of the word and the sacraments, because God gives himself to us, to you and to me, in them. It's true, then, to say that they save us, as 2 Peter says. Because faith which trusts Jesus in these gifts saves us. At last, Jesus and Jairus arrive at the house, which is a mess. Jesus has to tell all the flutes and the crowds to clear out. And now the story changes a little bit. We've heard about faith so far. But here at the house, the reaction to Jesus is not faith, but unbelief. In fact, they laugh at him. Because in the face of a dead girl lying there on the bed, Jesus says, "Guys, this girl is not dead. She's only sleeping." And they chuckle. But of course, this is the girl to whom Jesus says in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," little girl, arise. And she does. And flute choirs won't be necessary. Now, of all the images for death that the scriptures give to us, I think we're right to especially love this one. Falling asleep. That's what death is. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep. The one who closes their eyes trusting in Christ is not dead forever. They are just sleeping, Jesus says. And that's because the Lord Jesus knows the word to wake them up. His word raises the dead. And that word is a word that is spoken to you many times in this life. Take heart, daughter. Take heart, my son, little girl. Your sins are forgiven. And your faith has made you well and has saved you. But it means that at the last day, Christ is going to return and he is going to wake up his sleeping saints. He's going to come and speak this word again, to join them together, alive, awake, renewed, healed, and saved, to bring them with him to eternal life. And on that day, trumpets of joy, not flutes of wailing, are going to be heard. And Christians, that means even our funeral songs, they have to be tempered of their sadness and leavened with alleluias. We don't laugh at Christ. We laugh at death. Its great finality is as strong and as lasting as any of your dozing off in the pews or in an afternoon Sunday nap. Christ will wake us up. So what? We look, and the world is bleeding. Death is also knocking at our doors on top of it. Sin will pay out its wages for everyone. And that ought to be good enough reason for us to look elsewhere for our comfort. And if you are afraid, or if you're hurting, or if you're sorrowful or angry, then, dear Christians, imitate St. Jairus and this saintly unnamed woman and find comfort in Christ Jesus. It is better to trust in the Lord than in princes, or in our wisdom, or in our strength, and our bodies, and our money, and everything else. These fail, whether you're 12 or whether you're an old woman. But the Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. Take heart, dear saints. Be of courage. Our faith is strengthened and is preserved through these words and through the holy sacraments, these garments that bear Jesus Christ and his benefits to us so that he may be grasped firmly and we may cling to him in the face of anything, including death. Because this is how he does strengthen and preserve us in body and in soul, even to life everlasting. This faith saves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.